Blog Talk Radio.
There you go, and there are the familiar sounds of the Frat House Sports Garage in motion. We are back at it this morning after a week off last week, which wasn't that bad. Hey, a little break, it's okay. Probably would have preferred it this week, the way my allergies have been dealing with me this past week. Probably would have been a better week to get a week off, but I'm going to try to get through it because I got a whole crew here that's going to be propping me up through the next 90 minutes or so as we take a look at what happened 2 weeks ago. It seems like a long time ago now, doesn't it? In fact, as I was putting the program together yesterday afternoon and into last evening, I sitting here going, what the devil? Did that really happen? So I got to rely upon Sidekick here and his hefty ream of notes, perhaps, maybe, that he's got ready to rock and roll for Texas Motor Speedway. That was 2 weeks ago. And interesting result that came out of there because I guess it shut up the naysayers who, for a good portion of this season so far, have been saying, well, what about Jimmy Johnson? Where is Jimmy Johnson now? What's going on with that team? Lots of eyebrows being raised, but Jimmy Johnson, look, bottom line, it's Jimmy Johnson, for God's sake, and he had won at Texas six times before, so what's another one? Seven times now at Texas for Jimmy Johnson, the active winner at that particular track. You had to know you weren't going to keep him out of the winner's circle for long. All the naysayers, stick it. Of course he was going to get a win. Come on, he'll probably get a couple more before this season is over. But I'll tell you something, it sure looked like it should have been Ryan Blaney's race. Ryan Blaney won both stages, stage one and stage two, and rather convincingly. And I'm going to tell you something, I wasn't a very happy camper at the end of that particular race because, frankly, I'm going to tell you, I think that Ryan Blaney and his team lost it. I mean, they flat out lost that race. It was theirs. That was their race. And I got to tell you something. If, in fact, Ryan Blaney doesn't find his way into the winner's circle this season, I'm going to tell you something. This whole crew ought to be looking back at that race from 2 weeks ago and kicking themselves in the butt. Be curious to get everybody's thoughts on Ryan Blaney from 2 weeks ago and how that whole thing went down. And while we're talking about Blaney, we'll take a look in on how some of the young drivers did. Hey, you know, you got that old man there, Jimmy Johnson, winning the race 2 weeks ago. How did the young drivers go? Because, I mean, that's all we've been hearing about this this season is, hey, this is the year of the young drivers. So we got a couple other things on the agenda as well, some little odds and ends and tidbits and what have you. NASCAR making changes this week, making changes to the schedule. Charlotte Chase race, that chase race that Charlotte holds in October. Yeah, a little bit of a time change on that. What the hell, we'll just throw that one out there. Hey, it's only NASCAR. We'll make a few changes to the schedule. What the hell? I'll let you know what those changes are. We'll get the thoughts from everybody here on that one. Dale Jr., I've got to tell you right now, I can't imagine that NASCAR be too happy with him this past week. Making a comment that, hey, if I have kids, I don't know. I don't think I want them racing. We're sitting here talking about the year of the young driver. Dale Jr. doesn't see a future. Anyhow, we'll get into chit-chatting about that one as well. Oh, and Danica made the news as well. Well, when doesn't she make the news? If it's not yoga, it's something else. Danica insinuating that she might retire? I'm telling you, the hits just keep coming for NASCAR this week, didn't they? We'll touch on that one. Today we're at Bristol. Call it what you want. Hey, it's Bristol, baby. From what I understand, it's pouring rain, and we may not have any racing today, but we'll find that out because we got our good friend Christian Coley right there. I'm assuming trackside, so we'll find out, but he'll give us the latest weather forecast. Meteorologist Christian Coley will be joining us here momentarily from onpitroad.com, and I think that's where he is. I think he's on a very soggy pit road. Race number 8, though, coming up here, hopefully, today. If not today, it will be tomorrow, from what I understand. At Bristol, Larson on the pole for the third time this season. So we'll check in on that. We'll check in on the standings. We'll check in on this whole new season, fantasy, where we stand with our eat my dust picks, all of it. We got it all coming here for you for the next 90 minutes. So far, so good. My voice holding out. If anybody wants to join in with us, please don't hesitate. 347-826-9964. That's how you can get a hold of us here at Frat House Sports. 347-826-9964. Otherwise, I'll check. Hopefully we got the chat room open. I'll check on that. Try leaving us a message in our Blog Talk Radio chat room, or you can hit me up on Twitter at Frat House Mike. Yep, Twitter at Frat House Mike. Give me a follow too while you're there. Let's get the mechanics in here. Hopefully, Side Draft has got his ream of notes because I had a little difficulty trying to remember back to everything. Got your ream of notes there ready?
I don't remember anything.
Yeah, you had one of those nights, did you?
Well, you know, the race seems so far away.
It does, doesn't it?
Kicked up. I've actually been working all weekend.
Oh God.
Yeah, worked is you know, I didn't think they could find another level to go to, but they have. So
well, at least you're laughing about it. But
yeah. Well, yeah. Basically now we decided we're gonna move some stuff around and yeah, we're going to do it on the weekends, and we're going to start this weekend, and we're going to put good old Side Draft as the first one to start doing this stuff. And we're going to do this every weekend until November.
Oh, my God.
So, basically, yeah, every 4 weeks, I'm basically working all weekend.
Oh, man.
So, yeah. So, it's going to be fun.
Yeah, under the circumstances.
So I'm a little tired. I'm feeling a little congested, and yeah, we're gonna get through this.
Yeah, we'll get that Sunoco motor fuel going, and hopefully, under the circumstances, we appreciate the fact you can be here at all with us. Let's get Brandon in. Brandon, how
yes,
we doing
sir.
This morning?
Are you the only one
that's
better than you two?
Okay, good. Yeah, I was going to say, are you the only one that's not congested?
Well, I have a little bit, but not like you do. So, I actually feel like I have some energy. I may do a little work on Sidekick Summer Ride when I after the show here and get it ready for the season.
Yep. And you might have a little bit of extra time this afternoon too.
Yeah, I'm here, and we might not have much of racing. If there's no racing on, I think I'm going to be out in the frat house garage working on
frat house garage. Yeah,
right.
Air guns. Go ahead.
Sounds like Christian is going to be reporting poolside.
Yeah, really. Air guns will be going this afternoon. So there you go. Yeah, that's what it'll sound like out in the frat house sports garage this afternoon. But there won't be the roar of any engines. Well, all right. Listen, I'm a little congested. Sidekick's a little congested. Brandon's a little bit, but okay. Christian Coley from onpitroad.com. I would imagine he might be a little moldy.
it's a little
loggy.
I saw pictures from Trackside this morning, Christian, and I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute. Now, wait, hold on. I got to think about this. Bristol, Tennessee really isn't that far from where we are up here in the suburbs of Philadelphia. It looks like a completely different world. It is just pouring there from what I understand.
Yeah, it hasn't slowed down since I got into the media center.
Oh, geez. Oh man. And that's
the
where
resin
you are?
Is, yep,
is
I'm in the media center. And
yep. Okay.
Yeah, I've got a pretty good view outside the window, right? We got a window right in front of where I'm sitting, and it's just a consistent rain.
Oh,
I said the resin that they had put on the track is not there.
Oh, see, now that's,
I mean, once they
concern.
Dry it up, once it dries up, the track, it might be better, but it's not there. So I walked out on the track when I got here, and it's not sticky.
Fox Sports is not optimistic. They reported this morning, according to weather.com, the chance of rain at Bristol, 95% to 100% from 9 a.m. until 11 p.m., when it drops down to 90% at 11 p.m. Last year's Food City 500 took about 3 hours and 16 minutes to run, and given the forecast, it's hard to picture a window large enough to get the race in today. Christian, is that what you're hearing from many of the crews around there that more than likely don't look for racing today?
I don't see racing today myself. The big thing that tells me that it's not is my girlfriend is at home today, and it was raining pretty bad in Chattanooga, and all that rain is moving up toward us, so there's no opening for us to get a race in. I mean, there might be a night race. That would be about my only option.
Yeah, now that's one of the things I was thinking of this morning. I'm thinking, well, you know, there are lights there, so.
But there's also a curfew.
What time is the curfew?
I don't remember what the time was. I don't even remember if there is. I remember there was one at one time.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I guess they haven't said definitively, obviously, but if there's no racing today, obviously, from what I understand,
it'll be at 11 o'clock tomorrow.
11. Okay. That's what I was going to ask, is what time it would go off. Okay. All right, well, I guess we'll keep our eye on it.
My guess is they'll pull what they pulled last year at Pocono, and they'll cancel it, like, almost immediately at the start time. Broadcasting last year, just not tell anybody. Everybody will be confused, thinking they're watching this year's race until about halfway. Then they'll realize, oh, I'm watching last year's race.
Well, you know, I would think, under this new management, they may not want that sort of thing. That's a fan turnoff.
I know the big thing that NASCAR revealed a couple of weeks ago is they got a new rule that if they have to move the start time back an hour, they can. But I don't think that's going to help.
Doesn't seem like that would have any impact whatsoever under the conditions today. So
it might be wetter an hour earlier.
Exactly. It would seem to me that if anything, they're going to try to push it back. As Brandon points out, that could be a fan turnoff as well. You know, to keep a fan base in limbo for the whole day, that doesn't ingratiate you to your fans.
Oh, I know there's a lot of campers leaving when I came in this morning, and it's. If you want to come down and see a Food City 500, you might could see it for $10 tomorrow.
Well, all right. Well, I'll tell you what. That's what it's looking like anyhow from Bristol. But nonetheless, we'll have a race at some point, folks. So that's what we're here to do. We're here to get ready for it. Anyhow, before we get ready for it, though, let's take a look at what took place 2 weeks ago down at Texas Motor Speedway. And as I pointed out at the top of the program, Jimmy Johnson won there, won his first of the 2017 season. This is his first win of the season. There had been a lot of chit-chat, a lot of murmuring. Oh, what's going on with Jimmy Johnson? What's happening with Hendrick Motorsports? Oh, boy, the problems over there. And, you know, to me it was all kind of foolish because you had to know that, you know, Jimmy Johnson in particular of that team was going to get a win at some point or another and probably will get more than one. I mean, that's just the way it goes. So anyhow, Johnson apparently with about, from what I recall, with about, I guess, 15 to 20 laps remaining in the race, took the lead and held on to the lead right up to the end. Came in second place in stage two and ultimately won the race outright. Kyle Larson came in second. Joey Logano came in third. Kevin Harvick came in fourth. And Dale Jr. came in fifth. The big news, however, was Ryan Blaney, who absolutely dominated this race with 148 laps led, winning both stages one and two, and finishing 12th. And it just seemed to me that this was a giveaway on the part of Blaney and his crew to not just to Jimmy Johnson, but that to virtually anybody, because there seemed to me there were a number of just critical errors, tactical errors that were made near the end of this race, really when everything was on the line, and that's when you got to close. That's just my personal observation on it. Sidekick, jump in. I mean, you know, what were your thoughts on it?
Yeah, it was sad. I mean, you know, I was enjoying most of the race, you know, being, you know, kind of, you know, being one of the Ryan Blaney fans. Talk about shooting yourself in the foot. But we've been talking about this for a few weeks now, about the evolution of the young driver and, you know, and the stages that you kind of go through. And, you know, and unfortunately, you know, you get bit there. But, yeah, Jimmy Johnson, I mean, you know, cool your jets. We're not that far into the season yet for everyone
exactly
to be, you know, come on. I think a lot of people are drumming up, you know, just trying to drum up stories like, you know, and that. But, you know, hey, eight time.
Well, we're hoping not. We're hoping not. But
well, it's just a matter of time. You know,
oh, geez,
it's going to happen.
Oh,
I mean,
wow.
It may not happen this season, but I mean, you know, we've talked about driver longevity, I guess. And you know, we've talked about juniors, you know, after last year, is, you know, is junior coming back? Is junior not going to come back? If junior wins a title, is he going to retire? You know, he comes out, as you alluded to, and has said, you know, I don't know if I want my kids in the sport. You know, and that, so, yeah, you know, we'll have to see. You know, so there was some interesting stuff that went on. You know, how about Austin Dillon at the start of the race with track bar issues?
Yeah. Yep.
You know, talk about having a bad day.
Absolutely.
You're starting a race in the garage, or around, or I guess maybe around lap three or so. I forget where exactly, but yeah, you know, he starts out the race 12 laps down, you know. I mean, you know, just sucked for him. You know, actually, you know, all in all, wasn't as bad as we thought the race was going to be.
No.
So.
No, I thought it was a good race. Look, I said this 2 weeks ago. I enjoy Texas. That is a track I enjoy. You know, call me call me weird, call me whatever. I mean, because I know a lot of people, you know, they prefer the small tracks, the smaller tracks, the Bristol types. I mean, you know, I got all that. I'm not your average race fan. I came in on this sort of thing late. I like the bigger tracks. I like Texas in particular. I thought it was a good race. I enjoyed it. Darn it, I wanted Blaney to win the darn thing. And I wanted Blaney to win it. I would have been annoyed. I would have been annoyed if a JGR driver had won. That's how much I wanted Blaney to win this thing. Had Kyle Busch or Denny Hamlin snuck up in there and gotten that the way that Jimmy Johnson did, I'd be just as annoyed as I am because I wanted Blaney to win this thing. He had this in the bag. That's the way I viewed it. And to me, it was just – I thought it was just critical errors at the wrong time right near the end of the race that to me could come back and bite that team in the rear if, in fact, they don't find themselves in the winner's circle at some point during before the season is over. So, Brandon, you want to jump in with your thoughts on it?
Well, I agree with you. I mean, lots of sloppy mistakes towards the end. Like you said, probably cost them the race. But that's the kind of stuff young teams need to learn from. Yeah. I know it's been a lot this year, so, you know, it's got to be frustrating for them, I would think. I don't know how much of that team, you know, I wonder, I guess I'm questioning their continuity because I know some of their members are supplied by Penske. So I don't know if they have the same kind of deal that, you know, the rest of them do where they're, you know, constantly working together throughout the week, you know, practicing as a team, you know, that kind of thing. I don't know if they have that same, you know, options, you know what I mean? Because if they are on loan, they probably have other responsibilities at Penske. So I don't know. I don't know if that has something to do with it or not. I think that team, though, you know, they should win a race. They should win a race soon. You know, they're running too good not to. You know, you could almost make an argument that, you know, Ryan Blaney's running better than Logano and Keselowski. Even though Keselowski has a couple of wins, I think Ryan Blaney has shown a couple of times to be flat out faster, you know, at some tracks. So, it could go either way as far as that, but they definitely need to learn from these, figure out how to, you know, bring it home.
Mm-hmm. And here's the funny thing about this conversation that we're having right now. Let's think about this. So we're talking about Ryan Blaney and, you know, the errors he had and, you know, how he should have won the race and he's running well and, you know, all these things, right? We're talking about rookie. We're talking about the Wood brothers, who this is the first year they're running a full schedule. They used to be, you know, the part timers. Now, granted, there's the lineage there with the Wood brothers, and they, you know, they're a satellite of Penske, so I don't want to dismiss them that much. You know what I mean? It's not like they're, you know, but doesn't it seem like we're heaping a lot of expectations on this team and the other young drivers as well?
Yeah,
I mean,
we're kind of in some respects, I guess, you know, we've kind of bought in a little bit to the whole drumbeat of the year of the young driver thing, you know. It's funny you say the observation you're making, because, you know, as I was making my comments there, and, you know, I'm talking about the critical errors that they made, and, you know, if they don't get into the winner's circle, they this season they might come back and, you know, this race will bite them in the butt. And, you know, as I'm saying that and I'm going over to Brandon, I'm thinking to myself, boy, am I being unforgiving.
Right. But also, though, that speaks to the quality of the rookie class. We really haven't had this type of you know, we got the NFL draft in Philly this week, right? You know,
right.
And we start prognosticating it. Yeah, that word.
Prognosticating.
And talking about rookies and, you know, this is a good quarterback class. This isn't a good quarterback class. This is a good running back class, whatever. You know, this has got to be one of the best rookie classes we've seen in a long time. Yeah, with the talent, the maturity, and the level of their game this early. You know what I mean? You know, quite a welcome surprise.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, as we've also, you know, been sitting here discussing about the demise of NASCAR and, you know, where's our sport going, and, you know, everything that's wrong about our sport. And, you know, and then you got these kids that come in here, you know, and they're stealing the show, quite honestly.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, there's no doubt about it.
And then you throw in the Kyle Larsons that
exactly.
are younger. They're younger. They're not the rookies. But, you know, I mean, Kyle Larson seems to finally, you know, he's found that he's got his groove almost, you know.
Yep. Yep,
so,
absolutely. I was just about to say, I mean, you know, you take – Kyle Larsen, you throw, because I throw Kyle Larsen in that group, as I pointed out. You know, I throw Kyle Larsen in there. I throw Austin Dillon in that group, you know, in the quote-unquote young driver group. Technically not rookies, but, hey, they're part of that crop of young drivers. Kyle Larsen, take a look at it, folks. Yeah, he's got a win. Technically, you know, one win behind Brad Keselowski. But he is the leader in NASCAR right now in points. Number one. So, you know, that's one of the young drivers. That's what we're talking about. And whether, in fact, that has elevated our expectation or not, only assume perhaps maybe that is the case. By the way, who's number two in points? Chase Elliott. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
You know, number six, Ryan Blaney. You know, you got three young drivers right there in the top 10. You know, we're not talking Earnhardt and Jimmy Johnson, you know, at one and two. We're talking Kyle Larsen and Chase Elliott. Christian, we're being too tough on these young guys, aren't we?
Not really. I mean, you've got to be tough on everybody to. I mean, I wasn't expecting very much from Chase Elliott in his rookie season. I was one of the very few that didn't. I was surprised what he was able to do. With Ryan Blaney is running some of his first full-time seasons in his career in NASCAR, because he never ran a full-time season in the Xfinity Series. Never ran it in a truck. Yeah, he did run it in a truck. That's it. So, I mean, the guy may not have experience just because he's not had the experience. So, I mean.
Right.
But I don't think you're being too hard on anybody. I just. This is a place that I think can set the difference between a young driver and a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and that's my view of it.
Now, you saw the race 2 weeks ago. As we all did, and you know, just give me your impressions on what happened with that Blaney team near the end of the race.
I'm just curious.
I mean, you're somebody that's been down there in with, you know, some of these crews in the past, and you've kind of got a bird's eye view of it. So, you know, what in the world creates that kind of, I don't know, critical disaster?
Just not their time to win. I mean, when you have mistakes, it's just not your time to win. And I think the days that you do have flawless days, those are the days you're going to end up in victory lane. And not everybody has those days. And not every week will be a flawless week. So that's my opinion of why what happened on Sunday with Ryan Blaney is just because of the fact that it wasn't his day to win. His day is coming. We know it's coming. We know Chase Elliott's day is coming. It's 40 cars or 39 some weeks, and It's 39 of the best drivers in the world. So you've got to be competitive, and you're only going to have one. You're going to have a different winner every week.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. I mean, there's one guy that can go out and win consecutively, but most times you're not going to have a repeat winner.
No, it's a pretty simple, I guess it's a pretty simple mentality. You know, some weeks it's your week to win. Some weeks it's not. Most weeks it's probably not going to be, you know. Driving a race car, when you think about it, is kind of like, you know, the best baseball average, right? The best baseball average you're going to find is well below 500. So, you know, that when you think about it, you're going to lose most of the time than win. So I guess maybe you've got the right attitude about it, you know. It's not that we're being too hard on him there, Sidekick. It's just, hey, it is what it is kind of sort of thing. Right?
Well, you know, I think the other reason why we're kind of heaping these, you know, expectations on them is, you know, let's look at the names. Blaney. The pedigree
Elliott.
Of the Blaney name. The yep. Chase Elliott. You know, Austin Dillon, the family
Dillon.
That he comes from. You know, it's not like, you know, with Ryan and Chase, it almost feels like they were groomed. Well, and we've talked extensively about Chase Elliott's grooming. But, you know, they were raised to do this, you know. So, you know, they were probably, you know, right, you know, driving cars before they were walking.
Yep. Yep.
And you know,
I know that's one of the things. That's one of the things I'm going to get to when we get to the comments that Dale Jr. made this past week, because it's kind of a little bit of a dichotomy. You know, when you've got, as you point out, people like Elliott and Chase Elliott and Blaney who. Were driving, you know, almost as soon as they could walk. And then you currently have, you know, people like Kevin Harvick and Jeff Gordon, who've got their kids in cars, you know, just about the same age. But you got Dale over here saying, I don't know. I don't know if I really want my kids in the racing thing. You're of the young driver, and you're mentioning them, Sidekick. The grouping that I kind of call the young drivers, Kyle Larson, Chase Elliott, Ryan Blaney, Ty Dillon, Daniel Suarez, Eric Jones, and Austin Dillon, those are the young drivers as I'm defining them. Now, I think that there are probably, as I pointed out, I think there are probably others, if you wanted to, that you could throw in there. You know, for God's sake, I think you could probably, if you wanted to, you could probably throw Trevor Bayne in there, because I still kind of view him as a young driver. I don't have I'm not
yeah,
including
but Trevor's been in the league now for what, 4 or 5 years though. You know, and
sure,
you know, remember, you know, he started out his season, you know, he started with the Wood Brothers, won the Daytona 500.
And I don't think he was 21 yet at that point. So when you take a look at it, as you point out, what is he right now? Maybe 25, 26?
Oh, geez, let me look him up. You know, because it's funny. I was actually just looking up Joey Logano. He's been in the league for 8 years.
Yep.
He started in 2009. But the kid's only 26.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, so... You know, I'm thinking, you know, I'm like, Joey's young, and I know he came in really young, you know, but I was, you know, I was like, wow, his first season was 2009.
Mm-hmm.
he's not wet behind the ears anymore.
Somebody else I probably ought to throw in that young drivers group, albeit we haven't necessarily seen them, you know, really flexing any muscle. You know, Corey LaJoie, of course, is a rookie running full time this season. So, but as I point out, until we actually see something from
pedigree.
Corey, Yeah, okay. Yep. Yep. But anyhow, how did those guys fare 2 weeks ago? As I point out, Kyle Larson, second place finish. So he won. It came in second, right behind Jimmy Johnson in the race overall. Chase Elliott had a ninth place finish. Ryan Blaney, I mentioned, 12th. Ty Dillon, 17th. Daniel Suarez, 19th. Eric Jones, 22nd. And Austin Dillon, 33rd, as Sidekick pointed out. However, that really a result right from the very beginning of the race with the track bar issue. And Austin Dillon at 33rd finished actually 12 laps out of the lead. So wasn't even on the lead lap. He was 12 laps down. But that's how those young drivers finish up there. If I recall correctly, slightly better performance for the young drivers the week before that when we were at Martinsville. But holy smokes, you know, Ryan Blaney and Kyle Larson, Chase Elliott, all up there, right up there in the front again. So, all right. Anyhow, real quick, I'll tell you what. I've got the final minute here. This was the final minute of the race from 2 weeks ago. This from Fox Sports. So this is how it sounded when Jimmy Johnson won the race, the seventh time that he won it at Texas.
The white flag coming to one to go, sponsored by Credit One Bank. Larson is 8-tenths of a second back. Closing. He was 1/10 faster than Johnson that last lap, but he's going to run out of time. Jimmy Johnson last in victory lane at Homestead. Jimmy Johnson, Lowe's, Hendrick Motorsports, and Chevrolet win in Texas. They beat Kyle Larson by 0.4 seconds.
That Larson was on a tear, man.
Couple more laps, it could have been different.
If he could have gotten around, if he got around Joey Logano, he could have gotten there. But Joey Logano was the savior for the 48.
Thank you.
That rough start to the season on Jimmy Johnson jacking out the 48 team. No, we won't be hearing about that for a while.
Oh, there you go. That's how it sounded at the right there at the conclusion of the race 2 weeks ago at Texas. Real quick, any final thoughts from anybody here with regard to Texas?
All right. No. Pretty much what we were bargaining for, I guess. And the repave was a little, made it a little interesting, I guess, in the beginning. But other than that,
It wasn't as. I don't think it was quite as bad though as it was being kind of predicted to be, as you point out.
I think it was worse for the Xfinity drivers. They had to deal with it first, and when they ended up, you know, making the track better for the Cup series.
Mm-hmm. All right. All right, let's get around to a couple other little odds, as I like to say, some kind of odds and ends before we get into taking a look at what we might be able to expect from Bristol at some point, if not today. Well, whenever they get to Bristol, but a little bit of a surprise here, guys. I think just another indication that Monster Energy, I think another indication that Monster Energy is telling NASCAR, you got to be accountable to your fans. It was announced on Thursday that the Charlotte Chase race, which is on which was originally scheduled for October 7th. Now, that's a Saturday night race. Has been moved to Sunday, which I found rather interesting for a couple of reasons. Number one, it eliminated yet another Saturday night race. Now, that's two Saturday night races that were down from the year before, because when the schedule came out, we were already less one Saturday race from 2016. Now we're down two, and there are none in the chase at all. The reason that was cited for this was that, in fact, fans prefer the racing during the daytime at Charlotte. That was the reason that was given. I contend it is, in fact, exactly what I'm saying. And that is Monster Energy saying to NASCAR, we're here to make sure that you are going to be accountable to your fans. This is what the fans want. The fans want it on Sunday. Make the move. Get that race off of Saturday night. I, for one, like Saturday night racing. I like night racing. I think it's fun. I kind of feel, as we've talked about before, we've said we feel that there really needs to be a road race in the chase. I think similarly, you should have a night race in the chase. But it's not what the fans want.
There actually will be a night race in the chase this year.
There will be? All right. Well, are they moving?
Martinsville is starting at 3 o'clock and should end under the lights.
October 29th.
They moved the time to 3 o'clock, and so it should end under the lights.
Oh, how about that? Boy, they are making some changes to the schedule even after it's been released, because I was going to say Martinsville was scheduled as a 1 o'clock race in the chase. Boy, that virtually leaves us with only one more 1 o'clock race the rest of the season. That's really, really unusual, because we used to have a whole load of 1 o'clock Eastern time races, and now they are at a premium. Christian, I know we're going to lose you in a couple of seconds here. What are your thoughts on the racing moving to, on moving the Charlotte race to Sunday, and also to the fact that there are no exclusive night races in the chase. Now, you're saying Martinsville will have some night racing.
Martinsville and then Homestead will end at night. It always has. I mean, to me, night racing, day racing, there was at one time we had too many night races, in my opinion. And, I mean, we were based on day races. And I agree with what one of the drivers said a couple years ago, is the fact that the more night races we have, the less special it is, which is agreeable. And NASCAR needs to do something to make these races special to the fans so that they'll come out and pay their hard-earned money to watch the race.
Sidekick being the long time, and Brandon too, being the long time NASCAR followers that you are, what are your thoughts?
go ahead, Sidekick. Go ahead.
I do like night racing. I don't think we need a ton of it, so I guess I agree with what Christian said and some of the drivers in that. As long as they're on Saturday nights. Nice thing is, the Saturday Richmond, the Saturday night Richmond race, you can go down there, it's close enough to us, you can go down for the night, watch the race and then come back the next day, you go about, your work life come Monday, racing under lights is kind of neat, seeing them, seeing all the sparks and, watching pit road and seeing lugs, glowing lugs fly and stuff like that. But I, again, like Christian said, I don't think we need a ton of them. A few of them scattered here and there is, it's fun.
Well, being a permanent seat holder at Richmond, and the race next week was just moved back to Sunday this year, the explanation I was given was that more fans preferred the first race to be a day race. So that's what Richmond even told, ticket holders, as, that was what they wanted to see. So that's why they're only going to have the one night race now in September. So, if that's the case, that's fine. I personally prefer the night races. I don't like, I think they look nicer. I think they, you know, like Sidekick says, it does give you the ability to travel easier and get, you know, get it in without messing up too much of your work day, work schedule, that kind of thing. I'm a big fan of it in the heat of the summer. I couldn't imagine the July Daytona race being a day race. I remember stories of people absolutely dying of heat, you know, in the summer. So, you know, there's a place for it, for that, certainly. Early and end of the year, you know, I can see the argument that, yeah, okay, we don't need it for, you know, heat purposes. And, you know, when the time you get to October, you know, at Charlotte in North Carolina, it could be cool in the evening, I would imagine. So, you know, that may have something to do with it as well. In other words, you know, they're trying to, you know, keep it temperature more friendly.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. Right, well, I don't know what the exact answer there, but.
And, you know, and you kind of, the other thing you kind of hit on was, you know, weather. You know, let's look at Bristol this weekend. You know, you have a Saturday night race. You know, there's bad weather or something, you know, you might still be able to get that race in on Sunday, and I can still not have to worry about, you know, I might be a little bit more pressed for time to get back to work, but, you know, I might actually still be able to make this race. This race this weekend in Bristol, have to, you know, now, granted, some of them people are already taking time off because they're traveling, but generally speaking, you're probably going to see a much lower crowd tomorrow. Because everybody's got to go back to work.
Exactly right. Good point.
So,
Saturday
but
coming.
I think that's always the case, though, on Monday races, Sidekick. I think that always happens.
But, I think what Sidekick's saying is the Saturday race gives you a bit more flexibility if, in fact, you have to reschedule.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I also get the argument about the specialness, you know. I remember a time when the Bristol night race was like an event, and it probably still is to a degree, but I mean, it was, you know, it was alone on the schedule as like the only really Saturday night race for a long time, you know, and then they added the Richmond race and then, you know, the Daytona, you know, in the July, and, you know, those were pretty much all the night races they had scheduled, and then they started going nuts. So, I can see the point of making it special.
Yep.
Making it more of an event. But I'm not buying the line that the fans like the races at Charlotte better, you know, during the day, because the All-Star race and the COVID night races for a very long time, and that's the only way they are anymore, and I doubt they'll move them. So I call a bit of BS on that, because I think it's just that particular race they wanted it, you know, because it probably gets cooler in the evening in October, and, you know, the overall deal of it. There's no way you're going to tell me that the fans want the other two move from night to day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that Memorial Day Sunday night race for the Coca-Cola 600, I don't know if you could have a better Memorial Day as a race fan. I mean, you wake up, you watch the Indy 500, you know, go start your cookout, you know, have a little cookout in the afternoon, and then you go watch the Coca-Cola 600 all night. I mean, come on. You don't want to mess with that.
Mm-hmm.
NASCAR would be stupid.
Well, I got just a couple more thoughts on the whole change here. But I want to jump in here because we're going to lose Christian here, like right now. So, Christian, we appreciate you being able to jump in here with us for a little bit as you're coming to us directly from Bristol Motor Speedway. We appreciate that.
No problem. I'll keep everybody updated as much as I can.
Absolutely. I was going to say, the fact that we're losing you, does that mean we might have racing?
No, that is not the fact that we've got racing. We've got
a conference
coming up. Okay.
Yep. All right. Supposed to have a I'll keep y'all updated as much as I can, and be sure to keep updated on onpartroad.com for all your latest news and all the latest insight of what's going on here in Bristol, Tennessee.
Absolutely. I was just about to say that too. I appreciate it, Christian. We'll let you go do your job. So do your job. Thanks, Christian.
No problem.
Right.
So instead of the Bristol stomp, he's doing the Bristol puddle jump.
Yeah, real.
The Bristol backstroke.
Yeah, that one actually I like the backstroke because you got the alliteration going on there. Yeah, I'm just curious. Just going back to the schedule change thing, whether this has more to do with just a crazy thought. Maybe it's a combination of both. I don't know, but it doesn't have more to do with TV ratings.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. It could be. You know, I'll be honest with you, the Saturday night races, they don't generally put on network. So they, you know, they're generally relegating them to FS1, FS2, or NBC Sportsnet. So, you know, it could be. That would be a logical thing. Maybe the Sunday time slot is, you know, better for network. Because I can't imagine, you know, you would want to put any of the chase races not on network television. But I know for a fact last year there were some that were not on the main network.
That's right.
So,
that's right.
I mean, to me, that's stupid. You should have all the playoffs should be on the main.
Well, but if they're not drawing, you know, then.
Well, the problem NASCAR runs into is they run into football at the end of the year. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, the NASCAR regular season just about is ending up as football starts. You know, that Saturday night Richmond race is generally like the Saturday, you know, week one of the NFL as a general rule. So, you know, NASCAR is in a tough spot because they're,
yep.
You know, people have to choose between football and auto racing. You know, we have a little bit of an advantage here at the frat house, but we still watch more football.
It's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer. Come on. Come on. And listen, Fox Sports knows that too. This is a no-brainer, guys. We're not giving up NFL football on the main channel for NASCAR stock car racing. We're not doing it.
Well, that's why Fox has the early part of the season. NBC only has the Sunday night football game.
All right,
so
right. Okay.
They could put it up on the main network. That's by design.
That's
why Fox does
right.
the first half, and they want to be done with it because they got the football the second half.
Right. You're right. You're right. You're right. You're
so,
right. I wasn't even
thinking
of that.
Yeah, it's by design, but it's still you're competing for viewership at that point. You know, and I think that's
exactly.
The issue that NASCAR runs into. No matter how good the racing is or was up until the playoffs start, once the playoffs start, you're at a handicap. You know, for viewership. And I don't know. To me, I would think Saturday night would be better because there's no NFL on Saturday night. But,
exactly.
So I don't know. That correlation, I can't give you. I can't say, it's a ratings thing. I would think your chances of getting better numbers are during Saturday night than Sunday at that time of year.
Right, at that time of year. Now, other times of the year? No. I would say otherwise. I mean, summertime, Saturday night racing, that's not going to fly. Who's watching a race on Saturday night?
No, there's certain ones. The Daytona July race, you cannot have that during the day. I mean,
I got you.
You're putting your fan base at risk. You know, if it's a high 90s humid day and they're sitting there baking in the sun for 4 hours, come on now, that's just – and you're packed in. You know, granted, they've made newer grandstands, but you're still pretty much packed in there, you know, and you're fully exposed. So that has to be a night race. I'm sorry, you can't count on maybe a you know, overclassed and 75 degree day in July, you know, around July 4th in Daytona. I'm sorry, that's just, you can't do that. So that has to stay a night race.
Yeah,
in my mind.
I hear you on that one. And but see, that's a different type of race too, though. Because it's falling on a holiday weekend.
Right.
A lot of times people are
yeah,
home at holidays.
Around there, yeah.
Right. You know, but, you know.
I'm curious where it'll be this year. Because you got a Tuesday, the Tuesday 4th of July. I don't know. What Saturday they go to, the one before or the one after? Because Tuesday is kind of, you know, an odd day for 4th of July.
Well, we've got two Saturday races in a row there. You got Saturday, July 1, which is Daytona, and then you've got Saturday,
okay.
July 8, which is Kentucky. So okay. You've got two Saturday night races in a row. Right now, as it stands, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There are only 5 Saturday night races all season long. Last year, there were 7. Now, how do I remember that? Well, I remember that because when there's a Saturday night race, this program airs on a Friday night. We right. did 7 Friday night shows last year, which means we had 7 Saturday night races. This year, we only have 5 now with the elimination of Charlotte now out of the chase. Now, Charlotte
and
was
Richmond.
Originally there.
And Richmond next week was the other one.
Well, that one I knew about. But see, when the schedule came out, that was the one that I knew we were losing. But now there's 5 because we're losing this Charlotte race, which is on my schedule that I'm looking at. That's always on my board that I look up at here all the time. That race is still listed as a Saturday because that was the original schedule. But, you've got 1 in May, 2 in July, 1 in August, and 1 in September. And that's it. The very last race of the season, of course, is Saturday night in Richmond. I don't know. As psychic, I don't know. I think you were trying to chime in there on something.
A good question. I don't remember.
Sorry if I derailed your thought there, psychic. That wasn't my goal.
No. That's fine. Like I said, it's been kind of a long weekend for me. So I worked until 3 a.m. on Friday, and it was 1 a.m. last night. So sometimes I'm flipping around trying to look at weather and stuff. So sometimes my multitasking is. So I wish I really wish that we were, I'm so out of it. Where's my bit?
Everything's great.
Okay.
I actually feel like the big dummy more today.
Now we need that one. All right. Well, let me jump over to this one because I don't know if Brandon saw this. I'm reading this on yesterday, and I'm thinking to myself, oh my gosh, Brandon's going to absolutely love this. Maybe Brandon will love this. More evidence of Monster Energy's influence and a bit of cross promotion, I might add. NASCAR's this from USA Today. This was just published on Thursday. NASCAR's next leap of faith with Monster Energy is roughly 400 feet. Alex Harville wants 425. The 24-year-old motocross rider from Washington scheduled to attempt a world record ramp-to-ramp jump minutes before the green flag from the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series race on May 7th at Talladega Speedway. That's only May 7th. That's only what, 2 weeks from now? 2 weeks from now. We're going to run a ramp-to-ramp. I mean, this is, I got visions of Evel Knievel from the
70s. Yep, pretty much.
Brandon, had you heard about this before I put it in the outline?
Oh yeah. I've seen stuff about it. It's a big Red Bull event, I believe. No, it can't be. It's Monster. Yeah. Usually Red Bull does these big jump things. So I don't know. I don't know how that would be. Generally, all the time when we have these extreme jumps, and they do them quite a bit. Last couple have been out in Las Vegas. They jump from like casino to casino and stuff off the roofs. It's kind of insane. I don't know. I'm not sure what they're doing here, like sponsor wise. But yeah, I have heard of it, and he's going to attempt to set a record. That's for sure. I'll watch it.
Well, we're kind of a captive audience at that point, aren't we? I mean, if we're going to sit down and watch a race, you're going to watch it.
How close is the timing? I'm just curious because generally those jump structures are not easy. They're pretty built up. Like, how's it going to affect the semantics of the race?
Well, I hear you. I was thinking the exact same thing. according to the article over in USA Today, two steel ramps, 26 foot high, 30 foot wide, will be positioned for the jump in the infield parallel, infield parallel the campground epicenter of frolicking known as Talladega Boulevard. So it's in the infield, and it'll, I guess, run parallel to the track.
Mm-hmm. Well, that would be fun.
I guess right before, they're saying right before green flag, they'll make the jump. So conceivably, you know, before you even say, gentlemen, start your engines, you could run this, you know, you could run this, I guess, stunt, for want of a better word.
Yeah, that's a good word.
Now,
essentially what it is.
It seems to me, obviously, this is a promotional thing on the part of Monster. It's not a bad move from the standpoint of cross promotion to their, you know, their motocross product.
Well, I don't know that it's not. No, this ain't a motor. This is just a motorcycle stunt. This ain't motocross or supercross. I mean, it's nothing related.
Yeah,
I mean,
but
it's an extreme jump. That's
it's all. It's all being promoted that, you know, this guy is a motocross rider.
What's his name again?
Alex Harville.
Never heard of him. And I watch every dirt bike race there is. I'm sorry. I've never heard of him. Maybe he's an amateur. I don't know. But I've never heard of him before.
Huh.
Not in supercross or motocross anyway. Maybe arena cross. I don't know. But arena cross is even smaller and lower scale than supercross. I don't know.
Hmm. Well.
Alex Harville. Doesn't sound familiar.
Yeah, Alex Harville, H-A-R-V-I-L-L. Be that as it may, you know, you've got this promotional thing that's going on. You know,
he's an ex-gamer.
Oh, there you go.
That's
extreme sports.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is right up their alley. And to
right.
be honest, you know, I think it helps pull in. What it's going to do is it's going to kind of help pull in that younger demographic that NASCAR's been talking about trying to get.
But only if it's well promoted.
Yeah.
And my question is, with just 2 weeks before this race at Talladega, is that enough time? Here we go again. Is that enough time for Monster Energy in particular to really be getting the word out about this? Obviously, what we're trying to do here is lure in people watching this race that haven't perhaps maybe viewed it before. As you point out, Sidekick, a good demographic to be pointing to is that younger, you know, that younger ex-gamer type of demo. Well, I mean, you know, how many of that type are reading the NASCAR pages of USA Today? Is this the best promotion we're going to have? I mean, you get 2 weeks to do this. It seems to me that if you really want to promote this, you're going to be promoting it weeks and weeks and weeks in advance, not 2 weeks before.
Well, actually, here's a thought off the top of my head, and I want to see what Brandon's take on this is. You know, because it's kind of a conflict, but I think there's some merit and some interesting things around it. So Monster, you know, sponsors Supercross, okay? And they do, you know, they do NASCAR as well at the, you know, the top series. You know, take a weekend when there's not a Saturday night Xfinity race and maybe throw in cross-promote Supercross, have a Supercross event at a track on a Saturday and then have your NASCAR race on a Sunday.
I could see that happening. I think the biggest issue you'd run into would be the track itself. Where are you putting the dirt and how are you getting it out?
Well, it would have to be someplace where you could do it like on a, you know, in a infield type area.
No, they do it on the front stretch at Daytona, you know, at Daytona Motor Speedway, but they, you know, they haul the dirt in, but I don't think they actually get on the track. I think it's all done on that area between the pit wall and the track itself. So in theory, it could be done. Maybe you just have not so pretty, infield.
Yeah. Well, and that'd be a safety issue, I would think, because you get a car that comes down and hits straight away and winds up on
dirt.
That infield.
Oh. Yeah. That'd be bad.
You'd see a car shooting up in the air, like, but take a, but there are other parts of that track,
to make it that the fans could see the event.
Yeah, true.
That's the hard part.
So I'm just wondering if there isn't some sort of, one of the tracks on the circuit that might be neat for that. And then you have that cross promotion where.
Well, Bristol,
Bristol
immediately comes to mind because they play football there. But I have a feeling you'd run into an issue with, where do you put everything, while the dirt track's in the middle? You know what I mean? Maybe if you could have it at a place where there's a stadium near a track. In other words, say you're going to do it Memorial Day weekend around the Coca-Cola 600, which is a Sunday night, have a Supercross event at the Panther Stadium in downtown Charlotte. Something like that. That maybe. Saturday before the Coke 600. Although Supercross is over by then, but, something along those lines might be feasible. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You could have, and Monster could market this thing out the Wahoo, Wazoo, Monster Weekend at Charlotte,
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And just have all these kind of, adrenaline junkie type, events and, cross promotion between different, brands that Monster sponsors and just make a whole extended weekend kind of thing out of it. I think, kind of be interesting.
Well, you're on my planet. That's exactly where I'm going with it. I got no problem with Monster coming up with, these types of new ideas. Hey, let's do a motorcycle stunt. Let's go for a world record
a Guinness World Record is what they're trying to establish.
I'm all for it. I think it's great. Everything's great. But I just don't know if there's going to be the amount of time to properly promote this to the demographic that you need to be getting this promoted out to.
This is something that, you're talking a year or two out to really schedule something like this, I think.
I agree.
You know what I mean? This little sideshow that they're pulling at Talladega, I think it's just a... one of the opening acts or, things that they schedule for a race weekend. I don't think they're, they're like putting all their chips in on this, hoping.
Well, I don't know, man.
I think the difference is this is a fun event for the people who are attending the race. You're not going to pile in a Supercross race and a race in the same ticket. In other words, you're talking about two separate events. This one's like a companion stunt, whatever you want to call it. Like you said, the old Evel Knievel days, he's going to go out there and instead of jumping over buses to set a world record, he's jumping 426 feet. It looks like this is planned for, believe it or not, quite a bit of a difference from the world record. Just,
reading through what I'm reading through, you know, it seems it's going to be a – he's going to crush it if he gets it. So, yeah.
Well, yeah, but I hear you. You know, hey, it's a little side event, but it's a little side event for the purpose of what? Obviously, there's the purpose is to try to generate, you know, enthusiasm, excitement, you know, new interest for...
Yeah, buzz around NASCAR, yeah.
Exactly. But if you don't have the time, and this is, you know, consider what I'm saying here. This is announced in USA Today on April 20th, okay? And it's scheduled for May 7th. And we're probably going to lose today's race. In fact, from what I'm hearing from Christian in our chat room, he's saying definitively 1 p.m. tomorrow. That's what it is. So they may have already called this thing, and we just don't know yet. But, you know, you're going to lose today's race. So, yeah, the broadcasters can mention it, but how many people are going to be hearing it at 1 o'clock tomorrow on Fox? So you're losing a race where you can be promoting it out to your television audience.
Well, I think today's world is such a short attention span. They don't care about, you know, promoting it that far in advance anymore.
Mm.
It's a short attention span world. It'll get out to the people. It'll get out via social media. It'll get out via word of mouth to the, you know, the fan base of, you know, extreme sports. You can bet it's all over X Games websites and forums and you know, Facebook and Twitter feeds, and you know, that's how this works anymore. The days of, you know, promoting something 6 months out, it's not the same as it once was, I don't think. I'll be honest with you. I think everybody's working on the short attention span theory anymore, and you know, all right, 2 weeks, that'll do.
Mm.
Obviously, they had to be planning this for a while, because I'm sitting here looking at various articles with promo pictures, and, you know, the ramp's already built, and, you know, he's got photo op on a Suzuki, you know, dirt bike. It looks like a four-stroke 450. I don't know. That's kind of what I'm trying to figure out, what kind of bike's he jumping, you know, because the two-strokes have always been lighter and better to jump with, because you could make more horsepower power to weight ratio out of a two stroke than you can a four stroke. So I was curious to see what he was jumping on, but I can't seem to find that. It looks like a four stroke.
Oh, sorry. Thought you were done.
I am.
So NASCAR.com has been updated for race postponed. It is official. Tomorrow, 1 p.m. on Fox.
Well, everybody out there, you got your Sunday afternoon free. Go have fun. No NASCAR.
Yep, there you go. And, you know, as I pointed out, there'll be lots of that this afternoon in the Fred House Sports Garage.
Nah, not a lot of that. Just a little bit here and there.
Haven't seen the weather forecast for today. What's the day look like?
Today's beautiful. Today's beautiful.
I mean,
tomorrow and Tuesday are absolutely miserable. They're like yesterday.
That's why I'm
getting
your summer ride ready, in case you get the itch next week while I'm away. All you have to do is swing a leg over it and away you roll.
Well, that's why I was just thinking. I'm like, if there's no race this afternoon, maybe I'll call an audible and I'll actually come up.
Well, you're welcome to. I was going to do it anyway, just to get it done for you.
Yeah, 55 is a little cool.
It's 63 right now.
It's 60. It's 60 something.
It's 63 right now.
Oh, yeah. See, I
was out in shorts and short sleeves already this morning, dude. I made the fuel run this morning.
AccuWeather's
in
lying
shorts
to me.
My little instant weather on my desktop here. 63 degrees right now in Schwenksville, with an expected high today of 65.
I'll see here in
Yep.
You're hearing beautiful Manayunk, it's 55.
Wow, I find that unbelievable.
Yeah,
8 degree difference.
That's quite a temperature drop. Now tomorrow's absolutely, you know, we're going back to the nasty raw weather. 53 degrees is the expected high tomorrow. So,
well, we're getting all the rain tomorrow that's in Bristol. We're getting all that crap Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. But next weekend's supposed to be really, really nice. So that's why I figured I'd try to get this
next
little project done today.
They're saying that we could approach by Friday, we could be approaching 90. So,
yep.
All right. Well, anyhow, listen, we're going to be, we will watch the extreme ramp jump for sure.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. In fact, that I'll be kind of eager because, you know, I remember the old Evel Knievel ones. And, you know, talking about that one real quick and, you know, promotion, I remember a couple of those Evel Knievel ones, like where he was jumping, you know, I don't know, 24 school buses or something silly. You know, some of those were promoted for weeks and weeks and weeks before
they
did them.
As network specials, too. No doubt.
Yep. So.
Well, today, I think extreme sports have kind of taken the novelty off some of the grandiose stuff, you know, like we used to have. Like you just said, like an Evel Knievel special that, you know, 3 months before it was out, you know, we're seeing, watch Worldwide of Sports as Evel Knievel attempts to set a new record, you know, all that stuff. And I think extreme sports as a whole has kind of, you know, taken a little bit of that away. But, you know, I think it'd still be cool.
Mm-hmm.
The old record was set in 2008 by Robbie Madison. And he jumped 351 feet. That's it. So now we got this guy, Harville's going to come in here and attempt. The jump is a 400-foot gap from ramp to ramp, but they're expecting him to be airborne more than 426 feet as he reaches a top speed of 105 miles an hour. So it'll be interesting. He's not only going to break the 351, he's almost going to add 70, he's going to add 75 plus to it.
Wow.
Depending on what he actually travels.
You know, I'll be curious to see how it goes, and I'll be curious to see, you know, how much additional promotion they do for this thing as we get closer and closer to that.
I bet you will see more social media promotion for it as the week goes.
That's my guess. Yep.
All the monster feeds and anything associated to monster, you know, like, you know, all the, even the Supercross, all that stuff will be pushing it. Anything, you know, social media feed, websites, you know, chat rooms, forums, that kind of thing. That's where you'll see most of the promotion. Probably not so much. Maybe if you're watching like the NASCAR, you know, race shows during the week that are on Race Hub, I think is one of them. You might see it on there a little bit, but, you know. The big push will be social media. That's my guess.
Real quick before we get over to what we might expect today, or I guess tomorrow now at Bristol, just wanted to bring this one up. As I pointed out, Dale Jr. Does a weekly podcast. But it's not on Blog Talk Radio. He probably has a little better platform. Dale Jr. Download.
He's on Sirius, right?
He ought to be Sirius and get on Sirius. Not this rinky dink Blog Talk Radio that we're on. Dale Jr. Download is the name of the podcast.
It used to be Dirty Mo Racing or something. The name of the podcast.
That sounds really suggestive.
Well, no. It was a thing to him and his dirt race friends and stuff.
Oh, my God. Well, it's a good thing they changed your name, I think. Anyhow, he was joined this past week by his new wife, Amy, who's really not so new. But anyhow, they were answering fan questions. Newlyweds shared some concerns about their future kids when asked if they wanted their offspring to join the racing world. Dale, it'd be hard for me. I'll say this. I definitely will not push that on them at all. I'd rather them probably not be race car drivers. Amy comes back, asks why. Dale, it's freaking expensive. Amy, what did you pay to be a race car driver? Dale shoots back, my dad paid a lot. Whoa, that's almost awkward. I think I would be super proud of them if that's what they wanted to do. Later on in the podcast, it comes back to the same sorts of questioning. Dale says, there's a lot of good and bad about racing, you know, and I think that it's hard on your physique and yourself. So I would be super proud if they went to college and got an awesome degree. Amy chimes in. Well, I want them to do that either way. Dale chimes back in. Get a super great job. That would be really cool. You know, this guy is probably the face of stock car racing, NASCAR. And certainly, well, as we know, the fan favorite for many, many years. And for all intent and purposes, he's basically saying, I don't know, I don't want my kids involved in it. You know, a little bit of a twist from, as was pointed out early in the program, you know, you got Chase Elliott and, you know, you got Larson and you got all these others. Well, not Larson so much, but the Dillons and who am I missing there? Blaney. And then, of course, I brought up the, you know, you got, you know, you, I've seen pictures of Jeff Gordon with his daughter flying around in cars. And Kevin Harvick, absolutely probably going to put his boy into a car. I mean, you know, hey, I guess in some respects, I don't blame Dale for his thoughts on it. I mean, you know, he suffered. He lost almost a full year, half a year
that's,
for sure.
That's from, not from the season. Issue. Can I tell you what the issue is?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
He has found it very hard to live up to the legacy of Dale Earnhardt Sr. You're always going to be judged against your father, who is probably the greatest stock car driver of the, you know, the early era of NASCAR when it's, or the, you know, the prime era of NASCAR, let's just say, you know, and I think Dale's always found it a bit tough living in that shadow. And you know what? His kids are going to be, oh, wow, this is the grandchild of Dale Earnhardt Sr., the son of Dale Jr. So not only does he have to live up to one, he has to live up to both. And Jr. hasn't been a super dominating force. I mean, he hasn't even won a championship yet. I'd like to see him win one. I'd love to see him win one. And I guarantee you, after hearing those comments, he ever wins one, you will not see Dale Earnhardt back in the car after he wins. I would predict this right now. No matter what season it is, if he ever does get a championship and cup, he will retire right then and there. You know, I think that's the absolute only thing keeping him in a car is the opportunity to win a championship. You know, other than that, I think he's kind of lost his, I'm not going to say love of racing. I'm going to say love of NASCAR because NASCAR is tough for him. You know, and I don't think he wants his kids to have to deal with that.
Well, do you think he's suffering kind of the same thing that Tony was kind of suffering? Because, you know, when I sit down and, you know, and I look at Earnhardt Jr. and I look at his dad and, you know, I've seen the numerous, you know, the different, you know, TV movies and things that they've, you know, documentaries and stuff that they've done on Senior. And, mm-hmm. you know, yeah, Senior is probably, as you said, one of the, you know, the best, or, you know, easily one of the best NASCAR drivers that have ever raced. But he had a lot of stuff going on in his life, coming up as a kid and getting into racing and, you know, demons and monsters that kind of, you know, followed him through his career, you know, and then ultimately, you know, with his death at Daytona, you know, and, you know, I think Junior sees some of that and knows some of that. And that's why maybe he's not, you know, he's more willing to walk away from it. Because I think he doesn't want to be like his dad. He doesn't want to, you know, die on a racetrack. No. Also, you know, senior, the thing that endears senior to so many fans is he's one of the fans. You know what I mean? He's a blue collar guy. Didn't come up, you know, he's not a Jimmy Johnson or a Jeff Gordon, or the Bushes where, you know, they had silver spoons in their mouth.
Yeah, but you know, even Junior doesn't come off that way. Junior came.
Don't think that I'm saying Junior was born with a silver spoon in his mouth.
I kind of am, though. I don't think you see Junior in the same way as Senior. I don't think Junior had a rough background growing up like Senior did. I'm pretty sure Dale Jr. had a pretty nice life as a kid, you know?
No, I agree with you there, but I don't think that, I don't think Junior was necessarily spoiled by his
father. I'm not saying he was spoiled, but I'm not saying he's out there putting a second and third mortgage on his house to buy an engine to go race, you know, and God hoping you don't blow it up because, you know, you got yourself fully extended to the end. I mean, that was Dale Sr. early in his career, you know. Mm-hmm, Dale Sr. was like, you know, he had no money, essentially.
And then you throw in this whole thing with, you know, Teresa Earnhardt, you know, and the legal battles there. You know, I just think that, you know, Junior's in a different place.
Yeah. I think you don't want his kids to have to deal with a lot of that nonsense. I think you're right.
All right. I got to jump in because we got about just about 2 minutes. That's about it.
Oh, no.
So,
let's talk about Junior next time.
Absolutely. We'll bring it up. I'll bring it back up next week. Sidekick, real quick. Let's run it around and get your picks, your fantasy picks. What's your fantasy team going to look like for tomorrow?
Logano, Harvick, DiBenedetto, Elliott, Castle. I'm going with Elliott for my Eat My Dust. Elliott and Chevy.
Elliott for Eat My Dust. All right. And in our Eat My Dust little competition, NASCAR John leads it all, 293. Sidekick, you're at 278. Brandon, 269. I'm coming in fourth at 232. Christian, 203, and loyal listener Liz at 195. NASCAR John today going with Kyle Busch. Sidekick, you're going with Elliott. Chase Elliott, Brandon?
I think I'm going to have to go with Kyle Busch as well.
Brandon,
everything I've seen, he's just kicking it again.
Yep. Brandon's going with Kyle Busch. I'm going with Kyle Busch. Christian's going with Ryan Blaney, and loyal listener Liz is going with Chase Elliott. All right, there you go. Well, racing will be tomorrow. That's what the word is. 1 p.m., I'm assuming Eastern time. We will get something up on our Facebook page, Frat House Sports, leave spaces in between. Look for a little purple icon. Schedule right here on the old network for this week. Next time we're on Thursday night, the Frat House Sports Show. I think it's number 293 coming your way on Thursday night, 7 p.m. Eastern time. That'll be our draft, NFL draft show. NFL draft will be kicking in at about 8 p.m. Eastern time, so we'll be coming on an hour before that. Always a fun night on draft night. So you want to be here for that one, and then I'll be back here with you next Saturday afternoon, 2 p.m. Eastern time for another relaxed, very warm, hopefully, Frat House Saturday with you next Saturday afternoon. All right, there you go. Wish I could say enjoy your racing today, but it'll be tomorrow, folks. 1 p.m.
No, hold on. There's racing today, people. Tune in to BN Sports, Moto America, and MotoGP Racing from Austin, Texas. Motorcycle road racing at its finest, folks. Check it out.
There is racing today. There's a lot of other things, too.
NHRA today, too, I believe.
Absolutely. There is NHRA today. And we are in Houston, Texas today. All right. Anyhow, get out there and enjoy your racing. Enjoy your sports. Enjoy it all. Be back here with you on Thursday night. Thanks very much.